Blog Talk Radio.
To the Soak in the Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Soak in the Beer Radio Show. Soak in the Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about football. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We also talk a lot about NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NCAA, men's and women's sports. And we talk about other things like pie-eating contests, mud wrestling, hot dog-eating contests, camel racing, dog racing, UFC, boxing, WWE, anything that comes across the monitor as a sports or sports and entertainment, we talk about on this show. Today is a special edition. We got our Super Bowl Monday special edition today. So it's an exciting day for the Stokes and Bear Radio. So this Super Bowl Monday, Bucks against the Boys. Super Bowl Monday, Bucks versus the Boys. The hosts with the Bay Pro on check quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered will be, but not limited to, NFL Super Wild Card Weekend, Super Bowl Monday, Brady versus the Boys, NBA, NCAA men's and women's action, NHL and Major League Baseball scores in action. The show's number one contributor, D.C. from Maryland, will give an account for the Baltimore Ravens' loss to the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend. All right. The Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 8:09 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in San Diego, California, is under a flood warning right now. It is raining a lot, high wind, surf at the beach and all that good stuff. So we're a little bit rained out here in San Diego today, but we're not complaining because it ain't bad as in Northern California where they're very flooded, and on the East Coast is really bad weather still. So we're not going to complain here in San Diego because we're getting a little bit of rain, but it has been a soggy weekend, and it is a soggy morning here in San Diego, California. But we're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And, again, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokes and Bear Radio Show and our special Super Bowl Monday edition, Bucks versus the Boys. The reason why I made this title Super Bowl Monday, Bucks versus the Boys, is because obviously, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys are going to shoot it out tonight. Right now, the NFL playoff scene ain't big enough for the both of them, so somebody's got to go. I call it Super Bowl Monday because, although it's not Super Bowl Sunday yet, but it's Super Bowl Monday because this is the most important game in the whole playoff scenario, including AFC as well. This is an NFC game, but this game right here in the NFC is the most important game in the whole playoff scenario between AFC and NFC.
combined, this is the most important game. This is the Super Bowl. This game right here is talking about, we're talking about Tom Brady, people. We're talking about Tom Brady, who could possibly be playing his last game tonight, who, if it is his last game, he's going to come out and try to go out on the shield. He's going to come out and put on a masterful performance tonight, and I'm telling you right now, that's what he's going to do. In my prediction, Tom Brady's going to come out and put on a master class. He's going to put on a performance that he's going to be the Tom Brady of old. This won't be a game to where we're talking about, Father Time came in and crept up and put rust on Tom Brady's throwing arm and put rust in his lower back to where he can't move around and all that stuff. That's not happening, people. Tom Brady keeps himself in shape. He's probably drinking on his avocado juice right now, whatever it is that he drinks, his avocado green juice, whatever he does to keep him young, to keep him healthy. He's probably doing that right now. He might even call Aaron Rodgers and ask for a little bit of ayahuasca tea. He might have called Aaron Rodgers and say, Aaron, give me a little bit of that ayahuasca. I need to keep my mind right for this game. I need to visualize myself winning this game tonight. Aaron Rodgers probably shook him a little shot of ayahuasca tea to keep him going, you know. So we're gonna see what happens. The great one is getting on the field tonight. The great one is preparing himself to tell Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. The Bucks is getting ready to tell the boys no. Dak Prescott is playing for his media life tonight. Dak Prescott is playing for his media life tonight, meaning that he doesn't want to lose this game and then got to face that angry press down there in Dallas-Fort Worth. He don't want to face that mob. He don't want to face the people. He don't want to go into the grocery store and have to keep a hood and shades on when he walk into the grocery store out there when he go into Winn-Dixie and all this stuff in the Kroger's. He don't want to have to deal with all this stuff down there in the DFW. When he go into Walmart and to the Super Walmart down there, he don't want all the people to be looking at him crazy, looking at him upside his head like, man, why you couldn't deliver us a win? Why you couldn't deliver us a playoff win? We're a Super Bowl team. Jerry Jones built us a Super Bowl winning team. You know, this team was designed to win a championship. And yet you got bounced out by Tom Brady and the Bucks in the opening week, in the opening round, in the wild card round. Oh, yeah. Dak got to face those kind of questions, people, if he loses tonight. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is Super Bowl Monday, Bucks versus Boys. This is Super Bowl Monday, people. This game right here is the game. That everybody's been waiting on. Oh, yeah, we had some great games this weekend. We had some good ones. Just like across the monitor right now, 49ers beat the Seahawks 41-23. 49ers trailed at halftime, outscored the Seahawks 25-6 in the second half. Are the 49ers looking like NFC's most dominant team? Currently, yes. But I haven't seen the Cowboys and I haven't seen the Bucks. And this is going to be a shootout tonight, people. Currently right now, I got the 49ers. Yeah, they look the best overall out of all of them. Out of everybody that played this weekend, they look the best. They look the most solid. They look the most stable, even though they were down. These guys got comeback ability, and I'm talking about they can come back in a hurry. So I think they look more stable. Right after them, I got to see the Buffalo Bills. They right behind them, the Buffalo Bills. They put on a masterful performance, although they went in, you know, only up by a point, I think, at halftime yesterday. But it's you could argue and say that the most dominant team in the NFC definitely right now is
right over there. Tom Brady,
put that ball, loft that ball up in the air. So loft that ball up in there. I did it.
He's going to come out looking like he did. He's going to the division against the Carolina Panthers. Ain't worried about the Atlanta Falcons game. You know, worried about their game. They the game. They were in the first place. They were time for the start. Whatever. You need to get luckily, he didn't get hurt enough to play against the team that passed up in the league. They tried to put down the game, you know, for the last game of the season to get his own team to their own thing. The win. Falcons him having to play for Tom Brady and them to be the winner. His performance last season. I don't care about that. All I'm caring about is what he's going to do tonight. This Super Bowl Monday, people. Super Bowl Monday. Fuck the Super Bowl. And like I promised you guys, our number one show contributor, DC, looks like he's just clocked in for work. I want to commend him for coming on the same day. DC, I see you coming to you and you're playing this up. And congratulations to New York Knicks for you there on a 7-game win streak in the last 8 games, 7-1. So looks like they got their heels right. We'll get into that before you get out here about the Knicks. But we're going to focus right now on a little more somber, mate. The Baltimore Ravens.
got the service truck by the Cincinnati that truck service for the race. So DB Farmers came on the show. I got the enforcement city that came on the show to put on his general manager's hat, put on his coach's hat, and he's gonna come on here. He's gonna come on here to give a count of himself, give a count of his team. How in the heck did you? How did you mess up? Put reaching a ball across the end zone. I'm gonna start there, DC. How do you mess up reaching a ball across the end zone? That's all you had to do. Reach it over for. But what does Huntley do? Fumble the freaking ball. Let some big lineman rumble and stumble all the way back down the field. And it was a winnable game. It was a winnable game. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Give a count of yourself. Go ahead. Good morning. Go.
All right. First things first. Thanks for letting me have. Thanks for inviting me on the show. Something is wrong with your mic. It sounds like you're talking through a pillow. So either like, let's say it's on your collar and it fell down or something, and maybe it's in your lap. So I can hear you, but it's like the same, worse. Like it's your mic. So that I logged in online, and when I couldn't hear you well through my computer, I tried to log in on my phone to see if it was on my end. But you sound the same.
Okay. So, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stay right there. I'm gonna go into my direct source. Stay right there. Just stand by.
Yeah, no problem.
We're gonna stand by. Let me fix my audio really fast. We'll get back to
Yeah. Absolutely.
Stand by.
All right. Hopefully right now you can hear me now, DC. I'm going to go back to you right now. Is my audio coming in clearer now? I'm going directly to
the
side.
Oh, outstanding, man. Outstanding. You are a million times better. Oh, my God, yes. All right.
Unfortunately. Go ahead.
I was going to answer your question because I knew you was going to reach out to get me on the show. So, yes, you're right. The Ravens lost a very winnable game against the same team 2 weeks in a row because the game against Cincinnati for week 18 was very winnable too. And so, obviously, the glaring problem here is the offensive coordinator. You heard the running back, J.K. Dobbins, said after the game, he said, I don't know why in the hell we ran a quarterback sneak when you had me there. They should have ran or gave me the ball. I told everybody that I was going to be the difference maker in this game. You know, I'm the star running back on this team, and the quarterbacks are hurt. We have all these backups and rookies and third strings, and everybody making first starts. I'm the man, and why didn't I get the ball, right? I appreciated that. That was obviously a dig towards the offensive coordinator, and that was the problem. I don't know why they Ravens ran a quarterback sneak from the 3-yard line anyway, right? Remember, a yard is 3 feet, so we're saying that if he was at the three, if the Ravens at the 3-yard line, then they were 9 feet away from the goal, right? So trying to stick the ball out and all that is stupid when you're 9 feet away, right? That's a play that you run when you're inches away, right? Not 9 feet away. And then on top of that, John Harbaugh said, well, it wasn't supposed to be where he pushed the ball over and the air was supposed to be where he tucked it and we pushed him in, right? Which is even worse. Again, the glaring problem here is the offensive coordinator. But I had other problems in that game. You know, when the announcer is saying, hey, they lost their starting tackle. They lost their second-string tackle. They're on their third-string tackle who's only played in one NFL game prior to this one. and you're not loading up defensively on that side of the ball and attacking, right? They brought in the Chris Collins said, oh, they brought in a defensive tackle to close off the edge. And then they started throwing the ball over his head to Mark Andrews, and it was working. And they went away from it. Again, poor offensive coordinator, right? Like, it was a very winnable game. And without Lamar Jackson, against a team that arguably is so great, and to support your point of the Ravens is a very good team, and you related it to the Saints-Ravens game, you're right. They are a very good team. And they are a very complete team, and they do have a lot of good things. And they have plenty of opportunities to win that game. But I knew that game was over when I saw that fumble recovery for a touchdown, because I knew that the quarterback didn't have enough moxie to lead them back and recover. And he didn't. And I knew the offensive coordinator wasn't good enough to do it either.
Well, what is it looking like right now in the front office? You got your GM hat on. What is Lamar Jackson thinking? What is the front office thinking? Are they saying that, well, honestly, the way Tyler Huntley played last night, we could probably just, you know, for a year, roll with him and get a quarterback, you know, in the draft, a young quarterback, let him learn and kind of like go from there. What's the conversations in the front office right now?
I would most certainly do that. Let me tell you this. You asked me the question as a general manager. I'm going to answer that question as a fan of the Ravens. I don't want Lamar Jackson back. I don't. Well,
wow.
Let me explain why. Look, what Lamar Jackson showed me is that he's an exceptional talent. He's a great athlete, but he's not a good quarterback, and he's not a good leader. And so I don't want him. I don't want him on my team because he's not – I don't want him on my team because he's not a good leader. Everybody told that dude, everybody – and, yes, I'm banging on the table. That's what that noise is in the background. Everybody told that dude, do not step on that field without a contract extension. And somehow this dude thought he was going to be different or better than anyone else. Let me tell you what the narrative is on Lamar Jackson now. He's injury prone.
Okay.
He's outstanding talent, suspect in his leadership ability, and he's injury prone. Why do I say suspect in his leadership ability? You know how many times Lamar Jackson got COVID? Colds and flus by hanging around people. In Baltimore, he goes down to the swap meet, you know, and hang out there and going to the local sub shops, the local bodegas, depending on part of the country, you know. And, you know, you're a million-dollar athlete, and the leader of a franchise, and you're down on the corner, you know, Friday before the game, eating sub and french fries with some, are you serious? You know, what if somebody tried to rob you? And because you ain't giving them money, they stuck a knife in your stomach. You don't think that happens? Remember the running back for the Washington Commanders? The preseason, went to the nightclub, went to the club after the game, and somebody put two hot ones in them?
Yep.
You don't think somebody wouldn't rob Lamar Jackson? I know you're a millionaire quarterback. You don't think somebody wouldn't rob him or at least try?
Yeah.
Right? I'm saying Lamar Jackson is too immature to be the leader of a team, and he's never going to win. He's never going to win a Super Bowl. In fact, I'm willing to put money on it if you want. Lamar Jackson will never win a Super Bowl, not with the Baltimore Ravens or anybody else. You know why? Because he's not trying to win. You know, Sammy Watkins posted that Sammy Watkins was interviewed, and Sammy Watkins said, man, I don't know why Lamar don't want to come out. He said, look, nobody's 100% this time of season, of the year. Everybody's got nicked up and injured. Everybody, all of us. He was like, but this is what we train for all this time. You know why Sammy Watkins came with that attitude? Because that's a guy that wants to win a ring. Sammy Watkins is towards the end of his career, not in the beginning, and he knows Getting to the playoffs is a big deal, and getting to the Super Bowl is an even more huge deal. And getting an opportunity to win a Super Bowl can be a once-in-a-lifetime chance, right? Buffalo Bills, they signed Cole Beasley off the couch. Cole Beasley wasn't – he was playing with Tampa Bay earlier this year. He wasn't even getting on the field. He told them, guys, just cut me. I'm not even getting on the field. They cut him. And then Buffalo needed a wide receiver because they had some injuries, and he called them up, Cole Beasley called, and they said, yeah. And then what happened? Cole Beasley came out on Saturday and caught 2 touchdowns, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that, you know, everybody knows that you're at the point that this thing is fickle. This thing can turn on you in a dime. And with that being said, everybody told this dude, don't go out on the field without your money. And then he did it. And so what we told you not to do so that this won't happen actually happened, and then you took the punk way out. You walked in it as a man. You said, no, I'm a man up. I'm a go out here, and I'm a gamble on myself without an extended contract. I'm a man up. And then when it didn't work, when you got some
can
adversity,
can I ask you a question?
You came at it like a kid.
Can I ask you a question? Okay. You can hear me okay?
I hear you just fine.
All right. It's two things. One thing sounds like what you're alluding to is that Lamar Jackson's not signing the contract affected his playing ability mentally, meaning like it was so much stuff going on in his head that he basically was like couldn't focus on actually playing, but it was more so about playing well enough so they could say, hey, he deserved what he asking for. So that's the mental aspect of it, I guess, is what you're saying, where the contract came in at. Now the other thing is what you're saying is that in the playoffs right now, he made himself not available the last few weeks. Yeah, he was injured, but at the same time, maybe he could have gave it a go, and he just said, I'm not playing Sunday night in the playoffs because, you know what, they don't want to pay me, so to hell with it. Let Hunt see what Huntley can do. I'm going to just sit out and just, you know, nurse my injury, and then maybe they'll go ahead on and give me what I'm asking for. I don't know. Just break it down to me. Am I seeing it right?
Yeah, that's how you're seeing it. And I'm going to tell you this. If I was the general manager, I wouldn't bring him back on my team. I would sign him. I would franchise tag him. But I would only franchise tag him with the intention to trade him. And I would trade him for whatever I could get. I try to get the most value for him. But I trade him. He'd be off my team. You're not going to represent me if you're not smart. Remember, these owners of these teams are billionaires. These players are hollering over millions. These guys are hollering over billions, right?
Yeah.
You know, the players are playing checkers, right? The owners are playing chess. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I told everybody on my show the other day that they don't understand that these owners own big corporations. The football team is only a novelty item on their portfolio. It's just because they got so much money. I want to be a owner, but that's why they let these teams go. They sell them because it's like it's not even their real day to day business. So I get that.
Correct. So for them, it's bragging rights. Yeah, I own someone. I own that team, and you know me and. Me and Becca, we going to the stadium. You know, why don't you come down and hang out in my box this weekend, right? You know, that's what it is for them, right? And I'm saying, you know, what this dude don't understand is I wouldn't give you no big-time money like that. If this your mentality, I'm not wasting my money on that, right? Because guess what? Lamar's not the only athlete. You know, he ain't – come on, man. Both of us African-American. We know a whole bunch of brothers that's just as athletic, if not more athletic, than Lamar Jackson. Right?
Well, you got CJ Stroud coming out.
That's right. And let me say this. Tyler Huntley looked like Lamar Jackson last night. You know what Lamar would have did on that one long run? He has this move where he stops on the dime, let the defender go by him, and then walks in the end zone. If Tyler Huntley had did that same little hesitation move, he would have scored a touchdown last night, and they wouldn't have had to be first and goal after that, right? But why
not just give it to Dobbins? All you had to do was just give it to Dobbins like you had. Oh, you got number 43, that big fullback. That big fullback could have pushed in. Come on, guys.
Yeah, well, again, that goes back to the offensive coordinator. Everybody wanted that dude 5-6 games ago. Seriously, the town wanted that dude 5-6 games ago. And the coach is like, no, he's my guy. I'm going to stick with him. And now everybody is saying to the coach, all right, if you don't fire him, then you go too. Whether you win a Super Bowl or not, we don't want you either. Because that's the thing, right? The thing is fans want to win, and we don't want no excuses. And when everybody who, you know, a lot of players and coaches, they be like, well, you guys aren't experts. We're the experts. Motherfucker, we sitting here watching it. If I see that every time you, dribbling the ball and then you pull up and take a jump shot, you miss it, then that tells me you're only a set shot shooter. You're not a pull up jump shooter. Like I don't have to go to practice to see it when I see you doing it in the game and constantly missing. Right? You're a set shot shooter. It's okay. Set your feet and shoot the ball. You're not good at shooting off the run. That's all it is for it, you know. So, and everybody that remember, just because, and this goes back to your show, you know, you're coaching these young guys and you're trying to get these young guys a chance to get the NFL. A lot of these young guys have played the sport. A lot of these young guys are conference. You had that one kid on here that was an all conference and a corner and all that kind of stuff. Like, these guys know how to play. So if they see the same thing we see, they're now fans, right? Because if you're not on the field, you're a fan. So
right.
If the fans can see it, then you're not that good. And the offensive coordinator is just not that good. And a lot of coaches make poor mistakes, like the Chargers. Man, let me tell you something. I knew y'all was going to lose that game because of your coach. That guy's an idiot, right? Remember I came on here last week and I said, why did he play Herbert and them boys when the Ravens had already lost? Y'all had nothing to play for, right?
Right.
I mean, why would you – I get it. It's Denver. It's a division game. It's a rivalry. But for real, you're not playing this to win a rivalry. You're playing to win the Super Bowl. So now that you clinched the playoff spot, you had the fifth seed. You knew you was going to be the fifth seed. Win or lose, why put him out there? You put him out there, and your wide receiver hurt his back, and that could have made a difference last night, Saturday night for y'all. If that one guy had played, that could have made the difference.
We was a total collapse though, because I mean, think about it like this: how do a guy in the second year, one such Trevor Lawrence comes in, throw four picks in the first half, and we're up 27-0 going into halftime. And you come back out and you just lay an egg. I mean, it was just an epic collapse. I turned and started watching boxing. It was just an epic collapse because I just seen where it was going. I said, come on, man. I mean, just a total collapse. That Staley is probably going to lose his job sometime today to Sean Payton. They're probably talking to Sean Payton right now in L.A. They're probably talking to him right now saying, we're going to give you a 6'5", 200-some-pound quarterback and one such Justin Herbert. Can you win? Can you bring your offensive mind and do the same thing you did with Drew Brees and the Saints? Can you do it in L.A.? No, Sean Payton probably going to say, hell yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Staley needs to be in the unemployment line along with Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. They both need to be in the same line. They both need to be in the unemployment line. And I have not been watching the news too much this morning. Because I'm waiting on the word. All I'm looking for is so-and-so's been relieved of his duties, right? That's the only news I'm looking for. But I'll tell you this, I don't see Lamar Jackson as being a winner. You know, I compare Lamar Jackson to Patrick Mahomes. And because they came out around the same time. And Patrick Mahomes is a winner. Patrick Mahomes played with a bad knee, with a bad ankle, and he got the big name deal. He got the 10-year, $450 million contract with $189 million guaranteed. Lamar being his own agent don't make no never mind, because Roquan Smith, Roquan Smith threw dirt on Lamar when he said it. Roquan Smith signed that 5-year, $100 million contract with the Ravens, right? Just literally 5 days ago, I think, 4 days ago. And Roquan Smith said, I don't have an agent. He said, and the general manager worked with me, walked me through every aspect of the contract, explained to me what each part meant, and empowered me to make the choices I wanted. I got all the money I wanted. Right?
That's you don't need an agent. You need common sense.
But my point is I'm saying Lamar had those same opportunities. What a lot of people don't know is that the Ravens offered Lamar a contract extension after his MVP year. He didn't take it. They offered him a contract extension the following year. He didn't take it. They offered him a contract extension last year. He didn't take it. So they offered it to him three times. He only was on a 5-year deal. His rookie year, he didn't play. Right? He came out on the field like as a wide receiver, trick gadget stuff. But his second year is when he started and he won the MVP. His third year is when he got hurt. They offered him a contract extension despite that, and he turned it down. His fourth year, they offered him a contract extension. He turned it down.
Well, and I thought he did play the first year. He did play the first year. Remember, they sat Flacco down some part of that first year and put Lamar Jackson in.
That's why I said he came in as trick plays and gadgets, but that was Flacco's year. Like, he played sparingly because that was still Flacco's team, and when the Ravens lost to the Chargers in the playoffs that year, everybody knew, okay, that's it for Flacco. It's now Lamar, right? And then of course Flacco left, right? And then his first year as the starter, he won the MVP, right? And so that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he's an exceptional athlete. He's a great talent. But the problem is he lacks in the leadership department. And he's just not quite that smart, right? You know,
Let me ask you this here. And we'll segue back to the Ravens before you get out of here after you talk about the Knicks too. But let me segue to this. It's Super Bowl Monday, Bucks versus the Boys. The reason why I say Super Bowl Monday is because I looked at the whole playoff picture, and I said that this game tonight, Dak Prescott against the GOAT, this game is the best matchup out of the whole scenario moving forward. And because Dak is going to be, if he loses tonight, he's got to face the media tomorrow. There is no next week if he loses tonight. Tom Brady if he loses, he got to answer all the questions. Is am I too old? Did Father Time finally catch up to me? All this stuff. So this game tonight, it's Super Bowl Monday, is what I'm calling it. Who do you got winning this game and why?
I actually want the Cowboys to win this game. I want the Cowboys to win this game for the Cowboys. Like, deep down, Jerry Jones is the awesome owner. Jerry Jones will grab a guy with off-the-field issues. He'll grab a guy that's got talent, but there's locker room talk about him. He'll give anybody a chance to revive their career, right? Jerry Jones will throw money at you. He embodies what you want in an owner. Stand up for his team. Like, no one, like, the owner of the Ravens, you haven't heard from because he only talks at the end of the year at his end of the year press conference. Right? He leaves all the drama of the season alone until the end of the season, and then he goes back over. Jerry Jones, that dude is in it. Right? He cares, and you can see it. Right? And so I want the Cowboys to win this for them. At the same token, I kind of want Tom Brady to win because he basically lost his marriage over football. And so he kind of deserves to not be one and done. Because if Tom Brady loses, his ex-wife gets to say, see, you gave all this up for that.
Right.
Right. So in one way, I want Brady to win. But I really want the Cowboys to win because they put a lot of work in, you know, and for them to be one and done, that would be horrible, right?
But it happens.
And so
it happens.
Oh, it happens, and it could happen, and I won't be shocked if it don't. But I really would. So if you ask me, just as a casual Cowboy fan, I would love it if they could win, just to give them, you know, validation for a hard work.
Why do they win, though? Why do they win?
They'll win if they run the ball. They got to give the ball to Pollard. Ezekiel Elliott's not that dude. Pollard's the dude.
Okay. Why do the Bucs win?
Tom Brady. I say Tom Brady because if Tom Brady hits, if he's on, he's going to make all his receivers look good. Godwin, Evans, the tight ends. Like if Tom Brady's on, it's going to be a long night for Dallas.
This game, I mean, I keep telling everybody the magnitude of it. It's just a media firestorm regardless. If Dallas loses, Dak can't walk into the Super Walmart down there in Arlington. And you know I used to live out there. Dak can't walk into in the Winn-Dixie and just go make his grocery without getting a stank eye from everybody. You understand what I'm saying? I've lived in that area. And that them people, they love their Cowboys. I mean, you can't get on the bus. You can't go in the store without them running their mouth about the Cowboys. And I was down there when they had Wade Phillips, and everybody was calling up his job every Monday morning. I've seen it when they got put out the playoffs by the Giants down there. That DFW, they love their Cowboys. And if they don't win tonight, oh, my God, Dak Prescott cannot live that down. And then on the other hand, Tom Brady, like I said earlier, Tom Brady does not want to wake up this time tomorrow and look at himself in the mirror and say, I came up short. If I know the great one, he's going to say no. If I know the great one, he's saying no to the Cowboys tonight. Go ahead.
I totally agree. And you're right. These guys. You know, the fan base in Dallas. And that's why I said I kind of want the Cowboys to win for them. You know, they worked hard. And when you work hard as an ownership, as an organization, you want to finally see the fruits of your labor, right? You reap what you sow. So if you sow a strong foundation, you should have a lot of reaps, right? So Dallas has been, you know, sowing a lot of work to get to this point. Drafting smart players. I mean, that corner they drafted a couple of years ago was nice. The tight end they drafted a couple of years ago is good. They drafted some good guys on the line. They drafted some good linebackers. They got what's that defensive guy they got? DeMarcus. Not what's that other guy? The young guy they got, the young brother. That dude.
Michael Parsons.
Yeah, Michael Parsons. I'm sorry. Yeah, the young linebacker, Michael Parsons. They drafted well. Like they are talented. They deserve. The coaches make some dumb plays, sure, but on the field, you can't put a better product out there. Dak's a very good third round quarterback. Right, he's a third round taken. He's not a first round pick. Like you know, he's a third round pick. But he's a good third round pick quarterback. Right.
Dak went fourth.
Oh, I'm sorry, fourth. Right. See, so he's even better. Right. That's my point. So they deserve to get past the divisional round at least. You know, I ain't saying they should win a Super Bowl. I'm saying that, but they should deserve to beat an aging legend.
You know, going to the Bay Area, Northern California. Why was Geno Smith not able to defeat a rookie like Brock Purdy? A lot of people have been making a lot of noise about Purdy. And don't get me wrong, Purdy, Big 12 quarterback, came out of Iowa State Cyclones. Good in college, solid in college, last pick in the draft. We get all that. But they put him in a good quarterback in a ready-made situation. I mean, it wasn't, you could put Baker Mayfield at quarterback for the 49ers and manage to win and get to the playoffs. Is it really Purdy that's doing so much, or is the team just built well? Is that why that Geno couldn't overcome? Go ahead.
The team. I mean, the defense gave them the advantage over Seattle. I mean, they turned the ball over, they pounced and was able to score easily. So it's the team. Brock Purdy is just the plug-in in the system, and he's making the right passes, but it's the team. The team is better than Brock Purdy. I ain't saying he's a bum. I'm saying the team is better than Brock Purdy. And they're just a more complete team. Seattle's a good team, and Geno had a great year. But they're just not as good as the 49ers.
Are they going to let Brock Purdy compete in camp next year with Trey Lance? Are they going to let him compete? Or are they going to say, no, it's Trey's job? You know, you just got to
I see Brock Purdy making Trey Lance and Jimmy G all be gotten rid of. I wouldn't, you know, with Brock Purdy, you no longer need a running quarterback. Because let's be honest, Trey Lance is a Lamar Jackson type of quarterback. And those kind of quarterbacks get hurt. There's a reason that those kinds of quarterbacks are not successful in the National Football League over the long term. It's because they get hurt.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can pull out the air the running quarterbacks that had some sort of success. Fran Tarkenton, Steve Young, Randall Cunningham. Can you name anybody else? And all, honestly, out of those three, only Steve Young won a title, right? Fran Tarkenton never won a title, and neither did Randall Cunningham, right?
Yeah,
if you throw
Randall ran for years.
Yep, and if you throw McNabb in there, he never won a ring, right? You throw old boy with the dogs, Michael Vick. Right, and Michael Vick's a way better athlete than Lamar, and he never won a ring.
Yeah, I mean, I hated him in our division because he kept smoking the Saints.
Yeah, Michael Vick was Lamar before Lamar, right?
Right.
Flash, remember your boy out of
Cordell,
Yep, Cordell, because Cordell from your state, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And Cordell, same thing. He was a Lamar before Lamar. He never won a ring.
Right? He couldn't throw either, though. He couldn't throw worth a damn.
Right. And he never won a ring.
Yeah, but if you look at the Dolphins and they rookie quarterback, do you think he held up well yesterday against the Bills, or did the Bills just have an off day? Because I mean, the Dolphins is kind of hanging in there with him for a minute.
Yeah, I think Miami's just not as a complete of a team. You know, they're clearly a good team. They shouldn't have beat the Ravens, but they did. The Ravens collapsed and gave them that win. But Miami is a good team, but Buffalo is just a better team at home. And that's why they were able to pull away at the end. Same thing with Seattle and 49ers. You saw 49ers just separate at the end. You know, and so they just play against better teams. You know, because remember, it's three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. And you saw that, you know.
The thing that gets me, going back to the Ravens last night, the thing that gets me is this. I really didn't see Joe Burrow do much. I really can't really say one particular thing that they did well last night against y'all to where it was like, you just, you know, they had the game under control. It was one moment I seen Joe Cool on the bench looking like, damn, are we really about to drop this one? Are we really about to go home tonight? You know, I mean, y'all had the game.
Yeah, yeah. The Ravens showed that even with injuries, even without our star quarterback, that we actually was a better team than Cincinnati. And it was the coaching. Like, at the end of the game, I was like, why is John Harbaugh letting time run out the clock? They didn't take the timeout before the two-minute warning. And they had that play where it was controversial whether it was a first down or not. So I was pissed at that because I'm like, why would you run that kind of route when you need a first down? And even with the stretching the receiver did, the running back did, they didn't get convert. So it was 4th and 1. And then so it was 4th and 1 at the 2-minute warning. And I'm like, okay, so if you don't convert here, the game's over. And so Huntley ran the ball and it converted the first down. And then they went to a huddle. So I'm like, what are you doing? You just came out of the 2-minute warning. Remember, as a fan, the 2-minute warning is like 50,000 commercials, right, before they go back to starting the action. So I'm like, what the hell was you guys doing? Well, because I've been to a real game. They take a knee and they sit there and drink juice and talk until they tell them, okay, we're back from commercial now. Y'all stop playing again. So I'm saying, it's like, well, wasn't y'all talking about plays to run when we come out of this? So when you come out of the 2-minute warning and you got the first down, why did you need the huddle? You should already knew what plays we were going to run, right?
Right.
So after the 2-minute warning, they huddled. So I'm sitting there saying, you just letting time tick off the clock. Then they ran a 2-yard route. And then another 20 seconds came up. And I told my wife, I said, you know, they're playing as if they're going to tie the game and go into overtime. But you don't know that yet. So just score, right? At that point in the game, you just want to score. You don't want to worry about after the game, after you score. Okay, after we score, we're gonna run the clock out. So we can, no, just score, right? Because what the Ravens did, they wasted their time. Had they gotten to a point where they realized they couldn't score, what they could have did was kick the field goal and then did an onside kick. They still would have had time left to get the ball back. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If it's 4th down and you're like, man, I don't see us getting in, kick the field goal, right, do an onside kick, get the ball back and score again, and now you win the game, you got more time on the clock, right? But they kept wasting time. And then the announcer was like, yeah, John Harbaugh got 3 timeouts. Why are you not using it? Exactly. Why are you not using it? At that end of the part of the game, if you don't score, your season's over. You better, man, everything is on the line there, right? Why are you casual at the most urgent time you need to be? At the time you need to be most urgent, why are you casual?
Right. Wow. The New York Giants yesterday, real quick, and then I'm going to ask you about the Knicks here. But this last football game, I want to ask you, New York Giants, they beat the Vikings. Why Kirk Cousins, Mr. Do you like that? You like that? You know how you do when you get hyped up, you know, the bare chested on the plane with the gold chains and all this stuff. Why couldn't he overcome Daniel Jones yesterday? Daniel Jones is really not that great of a quarterback, in my opinion. Why were they able to defeat the Vikings, though? Was it Saquon Barkley? Well, what was the key to them defeating the Giants defeating the Vikings?
So Minnesota's problem is they're not a complete team. They're not a complete team because they don't know how to close out games. They don't know what works for them. They know how to come back when they're down. That's what they're good at. But they don't know how to stay focused. And that's why they always struggle. In games where they should dominate, they don't. Right? And the issue there is philosophy. Sometimes as a coach, you have to challenge your players and say, hey, you're not as good as you think you are. Right? You know, you're not as good as you think you are. And you need to show them. Sometimes you got to tell people about themselves for them to see what you see. Because they, you know, we lie to ourselves as people, right? You know, we're in business you know, how many entrepreneurs you know that's broke and been broke for years, but they walk around talking about I'm a businessman. Yeah, you might be a businessman, but you ain't a success because you ain't making no money.
Right.
Right? And so, because you're lying to yourself, right? If you lie to yourself, you're never going to get what you want. You got to be honest with yourself, and that's the problem with the team. So they need to make some changes. They don't commit to the run enough for me. When you got arguably the best running back in the league, Cook, and you don't run, you know, the ball, you got a problem.
Yeah, because he's a hell of a Cook can tote the load.
Right. If you worried about a wide receiver breaking a record so he could do a little dance or whatever, instead of using arguably the best running back in the league and letting him get his time going. You know, running backs don't last forever. People forget that the NFL stands for not for long, right? And so everybody that gets in the league, you ain't going to be there, right, for long. The NFL stands for not for long, right? You better get all the time and all the opportunities you can because tomorrow your career is not promised.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, let me let you get out of here in a second, but let's go segue to the NBA. I see the Knicks, New York Knicks, led by Julius Randle. They on a 7-game win streak. They got another streak going. And, you know, in the NBA, to be successful, you got to have these streaks, 7-game, 10-game streak. What's the magic? I mean, why is it working again?
Oh, that's easy. They got talent. The coach is above average. And that's it. They're above average team. With above average talent. And to be quite honest, and they're my favorite team. You can make an argument that they're a mediocre team that's just playing above average right now with a mediocre coach. And you're going to say, wow, your team is number 6 in the league in the conference. They're on a 7-game winning streak, and you're talking like the bums. I don't like the 9-man rotation. I think that they need to push that out to 10. I think he's wearing his starters out. His starters are averaging 35-plus minutes a game. And so while it looks cute in January, what happens come May? Rick Brunson is balling, right? But what happens come May when he's tired? You know, slow down a little bit on this.
I'm going to ask you a dumb question. Now, you know, I bring people like you on the show as experts so I can ask you these questions. When you talk about a 9-man rotation and people get wore out, we got professional athletes here. Why does a 9-man rotation wear a guy down? I mean, if you got a 9-man rotation, that means you got your starting 5 and then 4 coming off the bench. So why is that unusual?
Because you're not giving your star player a chance to manage his workload over a season. You know, NBA season starts and it starts. Let's be honest, the season technically starts July 1st, and then because that's when you open up for free agency, and you've already had your draft, and then you have the summer league, and then the preseason games start in September. Right, so the teams show up for practice in August. Preseason games in September, and you get a month of preseason games, and then the season essentially starts October 31st, November 1st. Right, so
right.
You're playing from let's say September 1 until June 1, right? And guys get worn out, right? The NBA season is 82 games. What about practices and traveling and scrimmaging? And warming up, right? The only break they get is the All-Star break and time in between traveling. So everybody's human. You're going to get nicks and bumps and bruises and ligament sprains and all that. And then come the playoffs, you're not fresh because nobody's fresh at that time of the year, regardless of sport, just like Sammy Watkins said. And but those minutes wore you out. And then what happens is because your bench guys didn't play as much, then your bench guys don't have enough experience to know how to handle some in-game situations. So to me, he needs to extend the bench out. Remember, every NBA team has 15 players on the roster, right? So you're only playing nine, you know, you're not even playing all your guys. Give all those other guys a chance to get a little bit of minutes. Now, I get it. Your last five, you may not play unless it's a blowout. Okay, that's fine. So play 10 and let the other five sit all season. Right?
Okay.
That means you don't have a nine-man rotation. You got a 10-man rotation. Maybe that one extra guy can lower your starters' minutes down from 35 to 33. You know, 2 minutes a game over an 8-month season can make a difference, right?
Right. Okay. I mean, yeah, because I'm always wondering. I'm like, you know, they keep talking about this rotation, and the media experts are complaining about this 9-man rotation. I think the media experts saying the same thing. They're wearing them down with this 9-man rotation, so they need to rotate one more guy in. And now you mentioned this one guy before, some young man from France, and have they started back putting him in the game, or is he still sitting?
No, they've been playing him, but only because of an injury to R.J. Barrett, and that guy I'm talking about is Evan Fournier.
Okay.
They've been playing Fournier when R.J. Barrett was hurt, but now that R.J. Barrett's back, Fournier's minutes have again went to nothing. The other guy that they're not playing at all is Cam Reddish, and he's a young guy that was one, you know, drafted in the top five in the league or top 10 in the league. Came out the same year as R.J. Barrett and John Morant and all of them, and he's not getting no minutes, and he can play. In fact, in the first game of the season, the one we talked about earlier in your show, Cam Reddish was the one that hit the three from the corner to tie the game up against Memphis. Because remember, the Knicks opened up against Memphis first game of the season. Cam Reddish hit the three to tie the game, right? When Memphis came back on the Knicks. And he don't play. You know,
you guys got
not
the
even
raps. Y'all got the raps tonight.
Not, yeah, yeah, oh yeah. The Martin Luther King Day game in Madison Square Garden is a tradition. So it's an afternoon game. It's 3 p.m. on the East Coast, so I guess around noon on the West Coast. Or somewhere around there, right? And so it's an afternoon game. It's the Martin Luther King Day game because, you know, it's Martin Luther King Day. You know, for some people, Martin Luther the King, you know how that is. Martin Luther the King.
Can y'all stop Siakam this time? Because I think he put a 50-piece on y'all earlier in the year.
He did. And I hope that they decide to come out and do just that, right? Because the Knicks was winning that game, and they let Siakam come back and literally take that win from them, right? So, yeah, it would be nice if he did that, but we do have that game today. I'm looking forward to it.
When the last time you've been to the Garden, man?
It's been a couple of years now, and my wife has been bugging me about when we're going to go this season. She's like, I want you to give me a date or when we're going up there to see them play. So it's been a little bit for me. I have the NBA league pass, so I never miss a game. But she wants to actually go to the Garden, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I've been there before, and it's a great place to watch the Knicks play. So at some point this season, I do intend to go. The Knicks was just here in D.C. They were playing the Wizards. And I wanted to go to that, but I had to go to a conference in California. So it was like, man, they're in town, and I'm not going to be in town. And then when they play Philly, all the days they play Philly, I have other arrangements when they play Philly in Philly, because obviously me being in Baltimore, Philly's a little closer. But, yeah, I, again, according to the schedule, every time they play the 76ers, I'm not available. So when they play the Wizards, I have something else going on, and when they play the 76ers, I have something else going on. So my wife's like, listen, let's just go up to New York and just see them there. So we're on the hook to do that because I owe her dates in the schedule. So probably sometime in March.
Well, you was out here on the West Coast, and I want to apologize to you about the weather, man, because it had to have been a soggy when it was raining here, so I know it was raining in Escondido. So you guys came out in a soggy one. What do you think about the weather out here?
It's okay, man, because I know it never rains in Southern California a lot.
Yeah.
I lived out there long enough to know that. So, no, it was cool, and I'm totally okay with it. I had a good time, though, but I'm excited about the opportunity to see what changes my Ravens are going to make. Believe it or not, while I'm disappointed the way the season went, I thought it was a good thing overall because they see their glaring weaknesses, and if they don't make commitments to changing it, they won't do better as an organization. So I'm excited about that.
Is it really time right now for a new voice in the locker room? I mean, Harbaugh's been there, but I'm going to say at least the last, I'm going to say, what, 9-10 years? Took y'all to one Super Bowl, only one. Y'all only had one really winning season. Well, I say one Super Bowl. That y'all have had more than one winning season, but y'all only got one Super Bowl. Got arguably the best athletic quarterback in the league, and you guys still he hasn't been able to win. So is it time for a change at the helm? I'm not talking about getting rid of the offensive coordinator. I'm talking about getting rid of your coach. When is somebody in – you got your general manager's hat on. When are you going to step up and say, I want to hire a new coach? We want to go a different direction. Go ahead.
I actually want to keep John Harbaugh. And what's funny is if you asked me that same question 2 or 3 or even 4 seasons ago, I would have gave a different answer. But I want to keep John Harbaugh for one reason only, and that is – he has a smart football IQ. He knows the game of football, and he knows how to run an organization. And I think that John Harbaugh trusts his coordinators. And when his coordinators screw up, he take it on the chin for his coordinators. So I will be honest to say that I don't want to replace him as the head coach, but I do want him to make better changes.
Well,
I think he's capable.
Well, the media experts the other day asked him a simple question, which he couldn't answer. And you know what they asked him? They said, "Why is Lamar tweeting from his private suite somewhere in the basement somewhere, tweeting out basically that, hey, you know, I just can't, you know, I ain't ready." And then they was asking Harbaugh, Didn't you know he wasn't ready? Y'all been telling everybody we don't know who's starting or whatever, and he's in the basement tweeting that, yeah, you know, I'm just – this knee just ain't right. So why didn't Harbaugh know about Lamar's status? Why were they not communicating? And he didn't – and Lamar didn't even travel with the team last night.
He did not. And honestly, that's why I love John Harbaugh. Because John Harbaugh recognized, okay, I got to do right by all parties here. I got to do right by my team. I got to do right by my quarterback. And I got to do right by the organization, right? My general manager and the owner and my boss. So he did right by all of them. John Harbaugh's attitude is, okay, I can't control Lamar, can't control the general manager, but I can control the team. So I'm going to play as neutral as possible while providing support to everybody, right? Because you're right. Lamar should have been talking to the doctors, right? But as a head coach, I can't be running out worrying about what's Lamar's status and not taking care of my team. So because then my team is going to feel like, well, you love Lamar more than us because we're here, he's not, right? So as a owner, as a head coach, He with the team. His thing is, I'll let the doctors and the general manager worry about Lamar's health. I'll just coach whoever show up in practice. But at the same token, he don't want to say nothing to reflect the attitude of the organization. Because you know the general manager and the assistant, vice president has been in his ear. And so, you know, he don't want to get into that, right? Because he knows there's a business side to the NFL. But as a head coach, he wants to stay off of that. He wants to just stay on the field, right? So that's why I like John. I wouldn't replace him. I'd let him stay. The Ravens would, you know, won 10 games and lost 7. They lost 5 games that they gave away 5 games, right, that they were winning, right? And, you know, as you saw, they're actually better than Cincinnati, right? They're better. So they got to clean up some things, and they will be better. They saw holes in their defense, and they got Roquan Smith, and he made the world of a difference.
But what was it going to hurt, though? What was it going to hurt for Lamar to come travel with the team to be that voice of encouragement in Tyler Huntley's ear, to be that extra set of eyes for the quarterback? What was it going to hurt for him to show up to work last night? I mean, I don't get it, man.
Well, that's why I said Lamar's not a leader. See, because a leader would have been there.
Right.
A leader would have been there. If you feel like the team is your – that's your team and all those other guys in the locker room are your buddies, you would have been there. But because Lamar is a me-first guy, not a we-first guy, and he proved it. Right? And Sammy Watkins said that, what he said, to show that Lamar, because Sammy Watkins has been on other teams, and Sammy Watkins has been in the league for years. And Sammy Watkins know how the NFL works. So Sammy Watkins' statement was telling the rest of the league, man, Lamar not a winner. Great talent, but not a winner.
What did he exactly say? Didn't he say something about if he just signed a contract, y'all could be a championship team? What did he say?
What he said specifically was, is he said, nobody's 100% at this time of the year. He said, if you can walk, you get out here and play because you're playing for what we work for all season to get to the Super Bowl, right? Because remember, 32 teams went to training camp. Only one team's going to win the Super Bowl. But you never know who that's going to be. And, you know, you can play your whole career in the NFL and never get to the Super Bowl and or get back. You know, I'll never forget Dan Marino. Dan Marino,
yeah,
his rookie year, went to the Super Bowl and lost. And he said, oh, it's okay. We'll be back. And he said, man, I never got back. He said, as much as I tried, I never got back. Right? And the reason why is because it's hard to do. It's hard to get there. It's even harder to win. Everything's got to line up. Right? It's a game of inches. The ball bounces all kinds of ways. Right? And, you know,
it
don't mean that you're going to win it.
I'm going to tell you something. This is what I think, though. Check this out. Follow me here. I believe that John Harbaugh told Lamar Jackson, you don't need to come. Because remember, it was a story, the Chicago Bulls back in the day when Jordan was with them. And Jordan had left to retire to go play baseball. And they try, and I think Phil Jackson tried to get Scottie Pippen to come in the game, but Pippen was feeling some kind of way about Tony Kukoc having the ball in his hand or something, and he didn't get up and get in the game. And then so Phil Jackson's like, "The hell with him." I don't know if you remember that story or not, but the team was like,
because that was against the Knicks in the playoffs, and the Knicks ended up putting Chicago out that year. That's the year the Knicks went to the NBA Finals. We got by Chicago.
I think John Harbaugh, speaking of Lamar Jackson in the same light, is looking at it like, okay, you in the basement tweeting about your knee. Okay, first of all, you hadn't communicated that to the team. And I think that you're just pouting because you know you're not going to get what you want contractually next year because you couldn't play. You couldn't participate the second half of the season, the last quarter. You couldn't participate. So I think John Harbaugh probably – told his called his mom, who was his manager, and said, just let Lamar know that he doesn't need to come. He doesn't need to travel. So do you think it's any truth to that, or it's just, you know, they told Lamar, hey, you can come if you want to be a leader? Because I'm looking at it like to say, okay, if you're standing on the sideline with no crutches and you standing there, you look fine to me, but you say your knee is still sore, these guys looking at you like, man, put a freaking knee brace on. Take a cortisone shot. Get out there and give it a go. What do you think?
And that's why Lamar didn't come. Because he knew they were going to look at him and say, man, you good enough to play. Right? And
yeah.
So after the game, Marlon Humphreys was interviewed. And he said, I watched Lamar limp around the facility. I know he's not good enough to be out there. So I understand it. But he could have traveled with the team. See, and so Lamar's trying to support his boy because they friends. I get it. But he could have still traveled with the team. Right? That shows leadership. And that's why I say he don't have that leadership. I don't want him representing my organization. If you ask me what would I do if I was the owner and general manager, I'd trade him. I'd franchise tag him and trade him because I don't want him representing my organization. He's not a leader. He's a me first guy, not a we first guy.
Now, is that you? Is that just you playing general manager? Or is that you in Maryland, you in Baltimore? Is that the community feeling the same way, like, get this dude out of here? Because I'm like,
There's a lot of people that feel that way about Lamar Jackson. Everyone acknowledges the same thing. His dude is talented. Everyone acknowledges it. But he's only won one playoff game, and he's injury prone. So now you have to be honest to say, is he worth it? He's asking for all
this
money.
But if not him, then who? Talk to me.
And so even this morning, Rex Ryan on ESPN, Rex Ryan on Get Up, Rex Ryan said, I was in that organization 10 years. He said, I know how that organization works. He was like, I don't see them keeping Lamar, and I don't blame them. And I agree. Because why, okay, think about this. Why receivers don't want to come play in Baltimore because they don't like the run-pass option,
right?
So you struggle with getting wide receivers. Everyone knows the Ravens' problem, their weakness. As strong as they draft, everybody says Ravens never draft a good receiver, though, right? So that's the knock on the Ravens is their wide receiver, their offense. So you got this offense geared towards this one kind of player with this one kind of style that nobody likes, but it works because he wins games. And then this one player with this one kind of style doesn't want to play here anymore or is half-hearted with it or selfish because he's thinking about him first. So it's like, why keep going with that unique system for that unique player who doesn't want it when we can just tweak our style? And because our defense is great, our coaching is great, and we draft well in all the other positions, we can win, right? So the argument is he worth it? No. No one player is worth it, right? When even Joe Montana, when he left, the 49ers won the title after Joe Montana. Remember Steve Young? He won one, right? See,
yeah.
So one player doesn't do everything. You still need a team. Aaron Rodgers, four-time MVP, and only got one ring. All right? Because you need more than just a good quarterback. Right?
Yeah.
So,
and he's basing his money on Deshaun Watson, but we got to keep in mind, too, Deshaun Watson ain't never been hurt that I can recall.
Well, he was one year, but Deshaun Watson also has never won a playoff game. No, he won one playoff game, and that was it. He only went to the playoffs one time, one year, and that's it. He never did anything else, right?
Bad organization.
Or is it he's just not good enough, right? We'll find out with Deshaun Watson now that he's in Cleveland. But the bottom line is you getting all this absorbent money, but you haven't done anything on the field. Man, results is what counts. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Well, look, man, I'm going to let you get up out of here. I appreciate you coming on the show after that long flight yesterday. I appreciate you showing up for work and giving account of your team. You showed up, you gave account. You didn't dip out all, man. The flight was too long. I can't wake up. I got jet lag. I'm still sleepy. You came on the show. You gave a good account of yourself, and hey, I appreciate that.
And that's what leaders do. See, I'm we first, not me first. Right.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Well, all right, man, I'm going to let you get up out of here. We'll get back in touch through these playoffs. All right, have a good one.
You too.
Yes, yes, for those of you just tuning in, this is Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Today's title was Super Bowl Monday, Bucks versus Boys. The host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks, regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered will be, but not limited to NFL Super Wild Card Weekend, Super Bowl Monday, Brady versus the Boys, NBA, NCAA men's and women's action, NHL and MLB scores and action. The show's number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, will give account for the Baltimore Ravens' loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. And there was DC that just went off the line. DC, our number one sports contributor to the show, a friend of the show, calling out of Maryland, was just basically talking about the woes in the front office when it comes down to the Baltimore Ravens and one such Lamar Jackson, and why one such Tyler Huntley couldn't pull it off last night against the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Cool plucked the feathers off the Ravens last night. Joe Cool and the Bengal Cats plucked the feathers of the Baltimore Ravens last night. But I want to commend DC for coming in and giving account for his team. In WNBA news, they're saying across the monitor that Maya Moore for the Minnesota Lynx is officially announcing her retirement. So she's going to be done. She had a stellar career. So Maya Moore, she's officially announcing her retirement. So that she's a four-time WNBA champion, 2013 Finals MVP, 2014 WNBA MVP, five-time WNBA First Team, 2011 Rookie of the Year. Officially retired today from the WNBA. She has a Hall of Fame resume, which I just read, and so she has a stellar career. Yeah, so that's the end of the era for Maya Moore. The Suns trade 2021 WNBA MVP Jonquel Jones to the Liberty. Connecticut Sun trade 2021 WNBA MVP Jonquel Jones to the Liberty. Wow, that's big. They letting Jonquel Jones go in a trade? Wow. That's in WNBA action, people. Anyway, I want to get off into some spring football real quick and opportunities for free agents. If you're a street free agent out there from 2022 last year and you were trying to get into the NFL camp and your dreams didn't come true and you're still trying to play and get on the field and keep attaining film to move up to get as close to the NFL as possible, I'm here for you, as well as guys that just played their last game in college this year, and you're a 2023 NFL camp hopeful, hoping that you can get into an NFL camp this summer. I'm here for you as well. So if you one year removed from college, or you just recently left college this year, and you're looking for an opportunity to keep playing football at the most immediate pro level, to keep attaining film, to move you up as close as you can get to the NFL, meaning like, so I'll start you off in pro developmental football, in the Indoor Football League, Fan Control Football League, Champions Indoor Football League, National Arena League. Those four are the main four that I supply with players. Start you off there, get you some film, and keep moving you up, keep moving you around to keep getting film, and hopefully you can land in the USFL or the XFL, which is in camp right now. The XFL are already in camp in Arlington, Texas. Everybody, all the teams are down there in camp, and they're going to start play up here, I believe, in sometime in February. And then the USFL, they'll be going to camp in March, and then they'll be starting up their league in April. So, you know, if you're looking for opportunities to get off into the XFL, USFL, by way of playing pro developmental football in the Indoor Football League, National Arena League, Champions Indoor Football League, and Fan Control Football. And they also have some other leagues like the American, the Arena Football Association, American West Football Conference, and what have you. They have some other leagues too, like those too. But American Arena League, they're coming back. The AAL, they're supposed to be making a comeback soon too. So with that being said, if you are 1 year removed from college, or you just recently played your last college game, I'm here for you if you want to use my service. And you, for more information on my service, just hit me up on Twitter at Ferran Sports. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, at Ferran, capital F-P-O-R-T-S Sports. At Ferran Sports on Twitter, you can give me a call. Give me a direct message me. Follow me and then direct message me. I do have an inbox on my social media Twitter platform. And you can ask me more information on how to get into my system, into my network, to get opportunities to play now while you're still young enough to play, and then even after you decide you don't want to play anymore, as I move up on the executive side, I can help you move up on the executive side if you so wish to continue your sports career on the administrative side of the table versus on the playing field. I'll still have opportunities for you to move up with me. As I move up, you can move up with me by just being a part of my network. And to be a part of my network is $1,200. You can do that in two installments, $600 down, $600 due in 35 days. That's 30 days with a five-day grace period. It's a $1,200 package to be in my network. But it's $600 down, and then I'll start, shopping your film and everything. I have to try to secure you a spot on a professional football roster to play in the springtime to try to get you some film and then get you an opportunity to get to the XFL and the USFL during the summer and everything, as they're wrapping up. Hopefully we can get you an opportunity with them before they wrap their season up, between, spring and summertime. And possibly still get an opportunity to get looked at to make an NFL summer camp, It's just, you never know how these things work, but in order for everything to work, you gotta be in my network. First of all, you gotta invest in yourself by investing in me, and then let me do what I can to help you get on a roster. And from that point, you just keep on playing, getting film, and we just keep shopping it out. As I keep making contacts and relationships, I'll keep sending your film around, and then trying to get you into the XFL and the USFL for the spring and moving into the summer. And you never know how that works out. And if you get a good look at the XFL, USFL level, you could easily get invited to an NFL camp, because the USFL put in about 60-something guys in the league this past NFL camp. And the XFL back in 2020, when they went bankrupt due to COVID-19, when all play stopped due to COVID-19, they a lot of those guys, probably about 30 to 50 guys, I believe, got NFL camp opportunities as well. So anytime you're dealing with a TV partner, that's more exposure, and that's really also why I always try to send guys to Fan Control Football, because Fan Control Football is partnered with NBC. They have an NBC platform, and you can be seen playing on TV twice a day on Saturday during the spring. I know, because I had players there last year. I had six players in Fan Control Football last year, three of them which were rookies. One was from a JUCO, one was from a D3 school, one was from a D2 school, and they all made it into the playoffs. One of my guys, the D3 athlete, made it to the People's Championship for Fan Control Football, and he was out there with players like, Johnny Manziel. They were all out there with players like Johnny Manziel, Terrell Owens, and, Martavius Bryant, so, yeah. Anytime you got a lead that has a TV partner like Fan Control Football at Fan Control Sports on Twitter, that's a good thing. So anyway, if you want to know more about what I do and how I can help you continue your playing career, just hit me up on Twitter at Ferran Sports on Twitter. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close up the show. I want everybody to remember, stay light, be light, not darkness, be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Pray that the war in Ukraine stops. Pray for the Russian soldiers that don't want to be a part of this war killing their own people. pray for the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian soldiers who are directly affected by this invasion. And make sure you guys get your flu shots, get your COVID boosters. It is cold and flu season. Like, it's really, really rainy and wet out here today. Thank God I got my flu shots and my flu shot and my COVID-19 booster. But keep your mask on you, keep your hand sanitizers on you, so you can stay safe while you're moving around in public. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close out the show. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for coming on the show today, listening to this Super Bowl Monday, Bucks versus the Boys special show today for Super Bowl Monday. Not Super Bowl Sunday, but Super Bowl Monday, because, again, it's going to be the Boys facing the Bucks, the Cowboys and the Bucks going at it, Dak Prescott against the great one, the GOAT Tom Brady. So somebody's got to go home. Somebody, 5:15 Pacific time, 8:15 Eastern is kickoff. Somebody's going home today. I don't know if it's going to be Dak, and I don't know if it's going to be Tom Brady, but somebody's going home today. With that being said, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a great day. Set Black, fade off.